Come on, let's give Jesus praise in the house. Come on, let's get our faith high. Come on, let's get our expectation high for what God's going to do. I got good news for you today. God's not dead, and if God's not dead, God's not done. He's still alive, and he's still moving in this place. Amen. Well, like Pastor Dudley said, my name is Pastor Ken. I pastor a church that is not dead but alive. So y'all get ready to have some liveliness. That's just kind of what we do, you hear? I've been married to a beautiful woman for 24 years named Tabitha, okay? 24 years, all right? 24 years. It has been the best 22 years of my life. The first 2 years was absolutely horrible. But now she got herself together and things are much better, praise God. No, but really, the truth is I was mean and I was selfish and I was prideful and I only knew how to be single. I didn't know how to be married. And so it's just like God. And she was depressed, actually, for about the first few years of our marriage. And so we were two people that was bound to, I had a plan to divorce it. That's a whole nother story. But it's amazing how God will take your mess and give you a message. Because now we have a podcast that we help married people all around the world called Doing Life with Ken and Tabitha. It's on YouTube. It's on Apple Podcasts. We actually are on TV in Russia. So we broadcast this in Russia and the Ukraine. It's just amazing to see how God will use our crazy stuff that we used to do to help a bunch of other crazy people get themselves together. But out of our union, we have three beautiful kids. I think they have my family there. Of course, my oldest is a freshman in college. She's a full scholarship running track and cross country at Oral Roberts University. Her name is Hannah. And my I have a freshman in high school named Charity. She's 14 years old. And then Kenny, he's named after me. He is in middle school and 12 years old. And so we are the Claytors. I am so honored to be with you guys today. And yeah, give it up for my family. All right. Now, I wrote a book. All right, how many of you all got my book? Cricket, nobody. Okay, it's okay. All right, let me explain. The book is entitled, As It Is in Heaven, listen, How a Church That Resembles Heaven Can Help Heal Our Racial Divide. Yeah. How many of you all are a little tired of the racial divide in our nation? You're just done with it, right? All right, now thank God you guys are already representing heaven. Give it up for yourself for being an amazingly diverse place of worship, okay? Now, I wrote this book, it's not a left from a left or a right perspective, but it's an upward perspective. It's not a Democratic or Republican perspective, but a Kingdom of God perspective. How many of you all know we need a Kingdom of God perspective nowadays? This is a perspective that you ain't gonna get on CNN or Fox, but we need to hear from Jesus. Somebody say amen. And so just to give you some inklings of what's in the book, you know, in the eyes of God, there's not multiple races, black, white, yellow, red, brown. You don't find that in the Bible. In the eyes of God, we're one race. Okay, the human race with different cultures, nationalities, pigments, and melanins, and we've all been made in the image and likeness of God. So the truth is that we are a lot more alike than we are disalike, okay? The Bible says that we all come from one blood. That means that you married your cousin. And I know that sounds nasty, but it's honestly the truth. But if you want to be a part of the answer, I should have named this book How to Election-Proof Your Church, because next year, you're going to be looking for this book because it has some answers. And I want to give it away to somebody who's really excited. I want to give you a free one if that's okay, but I only give it to excited people, all right? Excited people that are going to read it, because some of y'all are excited and you ain't going to read it. Now, the lady way in the back row back there, you're waving something right here. Come down very quickly. Give it to her because she was up before everybody else, okay? All right, I got one more. Anybody excited over here? Okay, I see the lady right here in the black. Do you mind doing me, okay? All right, give it to this lady right here with the sunglasses on, okay? God bless you. Now listen, if it's good, write a good review. If it's not good, act like we never met, okay? All right, praise God. All right, are you guys ready for the word of God today? Can we just give some honor to your pastors? You know, I've been in ministry over 20 years. I've been a lead pastor for 17 years coming in April. I've preached the gospel in different continents and nations, thousands of churches I've been in, and I know a good church when I'm in one. I don't know if you realize this or not. This is one of the best churches probably on the planet today. The love of God is here. The excellence is here. It's multi-generational. It's multi-ethnic. Would you please tell your neighbor, don't take this for granted. Turn to somebody. Tell them, don't take this for granted. Because this is a slice of heaven in the earth. Amen? But what I've realized about great churches is that great churches don't just show up on the block. Great churches are usually built by the sacrifices of great leaders. And so, Pastor Dudley, we honor you. We're so glad that you're able to spend some time with family this Thanksgiving. All of the pastoral team, the production team, come on, give it up for the worship team and these kids. They were singing. I was like, oh my goodness, that was so good, right? All right, if you're ready for the work, shout, I'm ready. I said, if you're ready for the work, shout, I'm ready. Y'all sound good now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your presence in this place. We pray that we've saved the best for last, that there's not one person online or here that is here by an accident, for our footsteps have been ordered by you. Let those who need to be healed, let them be healed. In Acts, the Bible talks about how Peter preached and the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. Let's do it again, oh God. I thank you that depression will be removed, addictions will be broken, and people that were questioning your reality will have an encounter with the power of your person today. And we will not leave this place the same way that we came. If you agree with that, would you just shout amen? Amen. Oh yeah, I like y'all, 11 o'clock, let's go. So today we're continuing in our series called Faith Out of the Shadows. Somebody say Faith Out of the Shadows. Yeah. We're living in a day and time where we need audacious faith, not lackadaisical faith, not faith today, but fear tomorrow. Not faith that's wavering based upon what's in the economy or based upon who's in office, but I'm talking about a bold faith, a mountain-moving faith, a raising the dead again kind of faith. Somebody shout audacious faith. I believe with all of my heart that the post-pandemic church should be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I believe that we are right now on the cusp of end time harvest of souls. I believe that there is a revival that's hitting the nations of the world. We're hearing the drippings of revival all around the world where God is beginning to stir and he's beginning to move just like he did in the book of Acts. And so I believe that you are carrying revival. Revival is not something that you come to, it's something that you carry. And in this series, we've been looking through the book of Hebrews, and we've been learning some things about the principles from Hebrews. Last week, Pastor Dudley preached an amazing message. I listened to it in its entirety on YouTube about the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11 goes through patriarchs and certain witnesses and men and women of God who accomplished some things by audacious faith. And I want to kind of pick up where he left off last week. He was in chapter 11 of Hebrews. This week, I want to go over to chapter number 12. And what we've learned in our series so far is that in Hebrews, the author is speaking to Christians that started to walk with Jesus, but then they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to their Old Testament ways. They wanted to go back to the ways where they trusted in their works and legalism instead of the finished work on Calvary's cross. And it parallels our life today that many of us at some point will be tempted to go back to old behaviors, back to old relationships, back to old ideologies and philosophies. But what God has delivered you from, don't ever go back to. Because there are some things that are in your past that have died that needs to remain dead. Don't raise it up, don't resurrect it again. How many of you all know I'm telling you the truth? There are some things that I used to do back in the day that I can't do no more. Because behold, we are new creations in Christ Jesus, and God's ready to do a new thing. Hebrews chapter 12. If you have a Bible, please go to Hebrews 12. How do you know God likes coffee? Because he brews. Praise the Lord. Y'all not ready today? Verse number one, let's read it. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about those Old Testament patriarchs, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You cannot run my race. You have a pace and a grace for the race God has for you. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy, don't miss this, that was set before him, he what? Endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Today's message is entitled Dealing with Difficulties. And I want to speak to those of you all who are here or online and you're facing a storm in your life. You're facing a mountain that seems insurmountable. You're facing a pain that it feels like it's too much to bear. You're facing some persecution. Maybe it's a bad doctor's report. I want to help you today learn and know how to deal with difficulties. You know, I believe in counseling. I believe in psychology and therapy. Of course, that's founded with Jesus at the center of it, but I do believe in therapy, and I don't go to therapy when things get bad. I go to therapy myself so things don't get bad. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I love that I get to pay somebody, especially somebody who's saved, who knows their craft, to let me vent to them. A while back, I went to my therapist, and I was just, he's like, hey, Ken, what's going on in your life? And I just let him have it. Oh, you know, the bills are this and the money and the wife and the kids and the church people. You know how you do. I paid them. So you're going to listen because I paid you to listen to me. So I vented. And he said, Ken, you know what your problem is? You just want life to be easy. And you want, just like most people today, you just want to be happy. But the problem is when we make an idol out of ease and an idol out of happiness, those people are typically the people that overdrink and overeat because they just want things to be easy. But this is what he told me, and I want to help you guys today. He says, but the Bible never promised you that you would not have difficulties. Matter of fact, the Bible says the opposite. Jesus says, as long as you are in this world, you're going to have trouble. But then he says, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He said, you're going to have difficulties, but my grace is going to be sufficient for you. When we look through the hall of faith and we see these different men and women of God, it wasn't that they were perfect people. It wasn't that they had faith because they got what they wanted. When they wanted, they understood how to have faith in the midst of problems, faith in the middle of pain, faith when all hell had broken out around them. They still had. See, faith is not just faith when you're on the mountaintop. Faith can best be seen when you're in the valley. Faith is not when you're healthy. Faith can best be seen when you got a bad doctor's report, but you have to stand flat-footed on the word of God that by his stripes, I'm still healed. Even when you have pain in your body, you're still believing God for a miracle. That's when faith is best seen. Are you guys with me today? And so now I feel like I'm on a life mission to basically normalize difficulties and to try to help us understand that we can have faith in the midst of difficulties. You know, and so for me, when I'm talking to my therapist, I'm basically, you know, because I know the Bible, I'm a Bible nerd and I love theology. I started giving him all the promises of God. Like, I know you're telling me life is supposed to be difficult, but the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And if I delight myself in him, he'll give me the desires of my heart. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly to the full, to the over. You know, I'm giving him all this stuff. He says, yes, you can have an abundant life, but it's still going to be difficult. Yes, you can walk in the blessing of God, but you're still, you're not going to be able, you're going to have to normalize these difficulties. So now, I feel like I'm on a mission around the world where I'm telling people that life is difficult, but you can still be blessed in the midst of it. People say, Pastor Ken, you know what? I'm engaged to be married. I say, praise God. That's going to be difficult. You're going to take two people from different backgrounds with different personalities because you know opposites attract, and you're going to come with the same last name and combine your money and live under the same roof until death do you part. That's going to be difficult, but we've been made for difficult things. People say, Pastor Ken, we're expecting, we're having a baby. I say, praise God, when's the due date? But that's going to be difficult. And all the parents said, for the first 3 months, you're not going to have any sleep at all. You're not even going to know your name. You're barely going to know how to leave the house, right? And it's amazing to me, people nowadays, there's a difference between like social media child raising and like literal child raising. You know, people on social media, they take pictures with their kids and all of their kids, they're matching and they're like wearing all Ralph Lauren. And like, that's not reality, not in my house. I can't even get my kids to show up for the same picture. I got a Christmas picture from a few years ago where Tabitha is holding my youngest and he's upside down because he would not sit still. And this, everybody else is smiling. She got a baby with one leg held upside down. Kids are showing up with Doritos in their hair. One shoe is missing, everything, right? Because parenting is difficult. I wish somebody would have told me that. Everybody like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Yeah, if you don't die from it, yes. My God. But we've been made for difficult moments. Amen? Somebody comes up to me, they say, Pastor Ken, I'm called in the ministry. I said, God help you. We're going to pray, and we're going to bless you, and we're going to help you. And if you survive past 3 years, praise God. Because it's going to be difficult, but we've been made for difficult moments. Are you here with me today? I want to talk to you today about having faith in the middle of the difficulties. And the answer is actually found in Hebrews chapter number 12. We already read it. Some of us just kind of, we read past it, but I want to look at verse number 2 and let's read it again and let's actually read it together. Are y'all ready? This is my key of how we deal with the difficulties. Ready, read. Fixing our eyes on, that's step number 1. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here's step number 2. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Y'all see that? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the difficulties. He endured the pain. He endured the rejection. He endured the abandonment. He endured the haters and the naysayers. He endured whatever he had to endure for the joy. I want to talk to you about the joy of the Lord today. And at the end of today, I want to pray, and I believe that some of you all are about to get healed from depression today. God did it for my wife. She's been healed for 20 years. I believe he's going to do it for somebody else on today. Here's the thing. You know, I've been in ministry, like I said, 20 years, and it took me 2 decades to really understand the joy of the Lord. That the joy of the Lord isn't us just being happy and having these good feelings. It's actually a weapon of warfare. And we have a joy that the world did not give us, and the world cannot take it away. And if we, listen, you don't have money, but you can still have joy. You don't have everything you want, but you can still have joy. And I'm going to show you today the importance of the joy of the Lord. So what is joy? Let us define this, all right? If you're taking notes, write this down. This is like Webster's dictionary definition. It is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what we desire. Now, in your notes, please put this. That is what we call natural joy. Everybody say natural joy. Natural joy comes based upon favorable circumstances. So you get what you want and you feel good about it. You in Dubai and you feel good, I'm on vacation. You in Paris, you feel good about it, but then you go back and something else happens, and then, you know, natural joy is in and out like the weather, up and down like the waves of the seas. And so natural joy, when you get what you want, you feel good about it. That's natural. It's not bad, it's not evil, it's just natural. That's not what we're talking about today. Today, we are talking about the supernatural joy of the Lord, AKA the oil of joy, okay? The oil of joy. Now, this is what it is. Let me define it. The joy of the Lord is choosing to respond. It is a choice, a choosing to respond to external circumstances, meaning what you go through, with inner contentment and satisfaction, because we know that God will use all of those experiences to accomplish his work in our lives. And the church said amen. The joy of the Lord is not necessarily based on enjoyable circumstances. You can have the joy of the Lord in the middle of pressures. You can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of problems. And listen, you can even have the joy of the Lord in the middle of great pain. I got this revelation on joy back in 2021. It was actually the worst year of my life for my wife and I. You know, 2020 was a pandemic year. That wasn't any fun, right? And we thought we were doing pretty good coming through 2020 because nobody in our family had COVID. And in December 2020, my wife goes to the doctor and she found a lump in her breast. And she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. So coming into January of 2021, we had a bunch of emergencies. She had a double mastectomy, followed by 5 months of chemotherapy, followed by about 30 rounds of radiation, and then a hysterectomy, and all of the drama that goes along with that. Now, the good news is that she's been declared cancer-free for 2.5 years now. Give Jesus praise for that, okay? Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, give Jesus praise for that. Give him glory and honor for that. But I want you to feel my pain. Because some of you all are in pain, and sometimes when another person tells you about their pain, you can't put yourself in my shoes and feel my pain, but I want you to do the best that you can to empathize with your boy. And just know that this was a very, very, very painful season. My wife, of only 45 years old, now has breast cancer. And I see her, I saw her go through a season where it was almost like her femininity was being stripped away. She had no hair, no eyebrows, eyelashes are falling out, fingernails, toenails hanging on by a thread, okay? She went through a hysterectomy, so now she's in menopause and all of these things are happening, right? And she's one of those vegan, like gluten-free, ran the Miami Marathon at 40 years old. That's what she wanted to do for her birthday. Like one of those people that won't take like medicine, but like vitamins and oils. Any of y'all oil pushers in here today? She just likes natural everything. So when she had all of these chemicals in her body, it was really putting her into a place of panic. Her body didn't know what to do with it. I want you to feel my pain today. I'm taking care of my wife as she's going through these things. At the same time, I have a child, three kids that I'm taking care of by myself. At the time, high school, middle school, and elementary school. At the same time, my church is in the middle of a $5.5 million building project. At the same time, my mom is diagnosed with cancer. At the same time, my wife is diagnosed with cancer. And oh yeah, I forgot, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic and people have lost their mind and don't know if they want to come to church anymore, right? So in the midst of my greatest pain, God gave me a great revelation. I would leave my house and I would walk and I would pray 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, walk around my neighborhood, and I would have a prayer walk every day for weeks on weeks, months on months. This was just my ritual. Like 98% of the time, you would catch me praying and then going. There was a place by my house, there was a lake, and there was a place you could sit down at the lake, and I would open up my Bible or have my cell phone, and I would meditate on the Word of God, and I would pray over my wife, and I did this day after day, week after week, month after month. And in the middle of the greatest pain, one day as I was leaving the lake, I was walking down this dock. And as I got to the end of the dock, I had an encounter with the presence of the Lord. And the best way that I can explain it, it's like the Holy Spirit shot the joy of the Lord into my soul. From a theological perspective, the only thing that I can get from Scripture is when Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in his bones. Meaning that this wasn't a natural joy. Have you ever went and had vitamins put into your veins and you could actually feel it as it was going in, kind of cold? Anybody here ever had that? Okay, maybe go get that done, whatever, no, don't worry about it, all right? But it was like that. I could feel joy in my spirit. I could feel God putting his joy, not my joy, but his joy in my soul. What happened? After that, everything became lighthearted for me. In the midst of my greatest difficulty, God gave me an oil to where I had the peace that passed all understanding. Guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Y'all know the Bible that we read? It can come to life for you if you have faith in it. Come on. I had a joy that's unspeakable. It's even hard for me to tell that story because it doesn't make sense, but it does make faith. I have a joy that was unspeakable. And all of a sudden, I began to laugh and have celebration and jubilee. In a place where I should be crying and wondering, I actually said that to the Lord, like, if she lives, I'm gonna serve you. If she doesn't live, I'm still gonna serve you even more. Now, I just feel like we live in a day and time that when someone passes away, we back up from God, when actually we should step to God and hurt the devil bad for taking our relative. I just feel like we back up when we should go towards God. So I said, listen, so out of this greatest pain came our vision. Our vision of our church is to lead 2 million people to Jesus over the next 20 years. I got the vision out of the pain. Are y'all with me today? And so I was so lighthearted and filled with so much joy. My wife said, do you even care about what I'm going through? I said, sweetheart, you know I care. I've just learned to cast my cares to the one that cares for us better, come on somebody, than I could ever care. See, some of you all are carrying something that you should learn to cast. See, that's why so many people have ulcers and stress and they can't sleep at night, because you're carrying something you have not been designed to carry. You should be casting your cares, not carrying your cares. Would the church please say amen? All right. What is this? That is the supernatural joy of the Lord. And here's the good news. It's available for everybody. It's available for all of us. It ain't available just for the pastors and the bishops and the most holy people. It's available for every born-again believer that would have a relationship with Jesus. It is not just our joy. It's his joy from him to us through us. Let me explain it. Let's look in the Bible. Are y'all ready to go? Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 10. If you're ready, say I'm ready. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of the Lord is your what? Have you ever felt weak before? Anybody here? Ever felt discouraged before? Ever felt like giving up before? Ever felt overwhelmed before? You need to pull into the filling station of joy and fill her up, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Whenever you feel downcast and weak, you need the joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is actually a spiritual weapon for warfare. It actually gives you strength to endure what you go through. In the middle of this great pain, my wife called my pastor's wife. Her name is Dr. D. And she was like, "Dr. D, I'm believing God for God to heal me from cancer. And I've been fasting and praying and fasting and praying. And we're having communion every day. And we're doing all of the right things that any Christian should do when they're believing God." And Dr. D said, "Girl, put your Bible down and chill out." And I know that don't seem like good advice from another pastor. What she was saying is that there's a place in faith where you must rest. And after you've done all, you have to learn to stand. She was like, "Go watch some comedy. Like, laughter doeth good like medicine." And sometimes what we try to do is work our way into a miracle. And I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to do all of these different things. But God wants to give you grace that you don't deserve. The joy of the Lord is a grace that we don't have to earn. We just have to receive it. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's keep on going. Y'all ready? Psalm 51 and 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant to me a willing spirit to" what? "Sustain me." How many of you all could use some joy along with your salvation? I pray today that God will restore your joy for your salvation. Okay, what I mean by that? How many of you all remember when you first got saved? How many of you all remember how excited you were when you first realized that the Bible was real and there was a Lord named Jesus that got on the cross and he died for your sins so you wouldn't have to pay the price? How many of you all remember that when you first got saved? Now, some of y'all, you've been saved since you was 5 years old and you don't remember this transaction. But most of us, when we got saved, we was like, "Oh my God, you done chose me. You done forgiven me. As ratchet as I used to be, I was out there twerking and doing all kinds of stuff, and you still love me and you still have a plan and a do I got anybody here that remembers how excited you were when you first start coming to church? You couldn't wait to be in a small group. You couldn't wait to serve. If the church doors was open, you would want to be here. But what happened? If we're not careful, over time, we start off with the joy of our salvation, and then it moves to not what we get to do, but what we have to do. And you can hear it. "Well, I have to go to church today, and I have to give to God, and I have to serve, and I have to go to small group." Listen, keep it. We don't need it. You know, this is what you get to do. You get to give to God. You get to serve. You get to worship. You get to bring your kids early. Yeah, they've been here for 3 services, but thank God. God is not asking for us to get on a cross. This is what we get to do. It's not what we have to do. And my prayer for you today is that God would just restore to you the joy of your salvation. The fact that we've been called out of darkness, placed in his light, should make us excited, amen? The fact that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that your name hasn't been blotted out because you've accepted Jesus, that you are a child of God, and God has decided for whatever reason to live on the inside of you. So you are actually an earth condo, for you are a temple of God. You are an earthen tabernacle. You have been chosen. You are a royal priesthood. I don't know about you. I'm happy about it still. Praise God. I'll give you the bonus one that we didn't have time for because the other services, they were rushing me, but I'm playing. John 15 and 11, it says, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be" what? "Complete." All right? Who is speaking? Jesus. So Jesus is saying, "I don't want you to have your joy. I want you to have mine. I'm telling you this so that my joy, the joy of Jesus, could be in you. Because if you don't have the joy of Jesus, your joy is not complete." There are so many people who are not Christ followers, and they're happy when they get what they want, but then they're sad on Wednesday and Friday. They're happy Tuesday and Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have a joy that comes from Jesus. Their joy is circumstantial, not ours. Our joy is complete. Are you with me today? Psalms 102, it says this: "Worship the Lord with" what? "Madness." "Sadness." What? Anybody glad today? Worship the Lord with gladness. And then it says this: "Come before him with" what? Joyful songs. So you know the first 15 minutes of service where we're worshiping, that is not intermission time for you to get from your parking lot to your seat. OK. It is not the time where you're supposed to be checking in kids, the kids' church, or going to get yourself a latte. What it's supposed to do is when we stand in church and we say, hey, good morning, let's everybody stand up. There should be thousands of people standing up, bringing God what? A joyful song. So that means that your joy is connected to your singing. So you actually, everybody here, I know sometimes we watch the worship people sing, but you actually should be singing as well. Now, if you can't sing well, don't sing loud, because that'll mess me up. I'm trying to connect with Jesus, and you pitchy. I can't deal with it. But we all should be singing, right? We should get up in the morning with a joyful song. I think we also should bring dance back. Come on, somebody. We need to bring dance back to the house of God. You know, I've traveled to many churches, and you know, you got a few people up here dancing, and most everybody else would judge those people. Like, I don't think it'd take all of that. Well, maybe it's not them that's out of order. Could it be us sitting in our seats like God ain't never done nothing for us? I'm just saying, maybe. Think about it for a second. Some of us for years, we danced for the devil. Now we can't dance for Jesus? How many of y'all was out there with me backing that thing up back in the 90s? Y'all know y'all was out there. Come on, man. I'm not dancing for the devil and then come to church and act proud. Like, I would come to church. I'm telling you, I couldn't even stand through all the worship. It was like my legs would get tired, and I would have to sit down. I would dance till 3 a.m. in the morning, couldn't stand through 2 minutes, 10 minutes of worship. They would say, lift your hands. I'm like, I ain't lifting my hands. That seemed crazy. But I would go to the basketball game and act a plumb fool trying to catch some free T-shirts. And I don't know what happens to us when it comes to the house of God. God is the one that made dance. I was in Jerusalem about 8 or 9 years ago, and at Shabbat, sundown, Sabbath day, on Friday night, thousands of people would come to the Western Wall, and they would just dance with jubilee and celebration, but they don't know Jesus. How much more those of us who understands that he is the King of glory, that when we come to the house of God, glory to God, we should have a little bit of, oh, y'all not ready for this. Come on, sister, we live in the most dancing generation. We got 85-year-old grandmamas on TikTok like, what's up, everybody? Right? But I'm not dancing for likes. I'm not dancing for comments. Come on, somebody. I'm not dancing to build my platform. I'm dancing because he gave me feet, praise God. And the Bible said, let everything that hath breath, if you're breathing, you should be dancing. If you're breathing, you should be praising. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'll give you one more. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse number 9, can we read this? This is my last one for today. Hebrews 1 and 9, let's read it together. Ready, read. It says, you've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you what? Above your, I believe God's going to set some of you all above your coworkers. The favor of God is on your life. He's going to set some of you guys above people in your neighborhood that you live beside, okay? How? By anointing you with the oil of joy. Depression, sadness, and despair will always be in the world, but we want to counsel it in the church. I think the world should be looking to the church to find out how to walk in the joy. I don't believe that we should have the snuffleupagus face. Y'all remember him from Sesame Street? The elephant, hey, Bernie. I don't believe that should be in the church where everybody's just so sad to be here because of what we're going through. Yes, we live in a fallen, broken, sinful world, but listen to this. You've been made for difficult moments, and his grace is always sufficient for us. And there is an oil of joy that is available for you no matter what mountain you are facing on today, no matter who you lost this year. I want you to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ah, glory. Are y'all with me today? Come on now. So what Hebrews 1:9 is saying is that God wants to anoint you. Who, me? Yes, you. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Simply put, it is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help you get supernatural results. He wants to anoint you. Who, me? Yes, you. With the oil of joy. Somebody shout, the oil. The oil in the Old Testament was symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So he wants you to be oily. He wants you to be anointed. He wants you to have like this empowerment of his spirit upon you that breaks the back of depression and sadness and despair and weight and grief and feeling like giving up and discouragement and all of those things that are in the world. We want to pray for you to be healed today. And what I've learned about the joy of the Lord is this, is that the joy of the Lord is a fruit. It comes in seed form that must be developed according to Galatians chapter 5. I've also learned that the joy of the Lord is a choice. Every day and every play, you have to choose joy. I don't always feel joyful, but I choose joy. In traffic, choose joy. Go, LA people said, hey man, I don't know, Pastor, the message is all right, but I don't know if I can do that. I mean, my God. You go to your kids' PTA meeting, God knows. Them folks are wasting my time, but I'm gonna choose joy. You get a new supervisor at work, gotta choose joy. Stocks aren't doing too well right now, still gotta choose joy. So I've learned in my life that joy is a fruit, joy is a choice, but joy is also a gift. And this is what I want you to receive today, because I believe God's gonna do for some of you what he did for me on the dock. It was a gift. Actually, the word joy in the Greek is C-H-A-R. The word grace is C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. So joy in its root is connected to grace. Grace is a gift that you cannot earn. It is something that God wants to give you. God gave me a joy. He wants to give you a joy. He wants you to be dripping in joy. He wants to be you to be oily like Jerry Curl juice, oily with joy. Praise God that when you show up, depression gotta go. Can everybody stand all over the building today? I'm sorry, the wheels have fallen off this bus. This is my third service, and I do not know what I'm saying any longer. All right? Now, we are a family of believers. Somebody say amen. Online, I want you to stand up too if you're not driving. We are a family of believers. Sometimes in families, we need to be hot. H-O-T, honest, open, and transparent. Here's your hot moment. If you were honest, how many of you all have been battling depression? Let me see by a show of hands. Sadness, despair, discouragement, stressed, overwhelmed, weight. Do you mind if we pray for you that God would give you beauty for ashes? Take the garment of heaviness for the spirit of heaviness and give you a garment of praise. Can we pray that today? Okay. Let's do this. Please lift up your hand if that's you and you need prayer in that there. Okay, now a lot of people got their hands up. But what I want you to do is find somebody beside you with their hand up, and I want you to put your hand on their back as a sign of agreement before we pray. Everybody find somebody. Now when somebody's touching you, and your whole row might have their hand up, y'all just touch each other as an act of agreement. We're gonna pray and the joy is gonna flow, okay? Now, the first thing that I need you to do, the Lord gave me two words, repent and renounce. Renounce and repent. I need you to use your God-given authority and renounce depression, sadness. It is not a badge. It is not something that you should receive. Even if you have a chemical imbalance, I know a God that can do miracles in every chemical that is in your brain and mind, okay? So I want you to start under your breath right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, say, I renounce sadness. I'm done with it. That means I'm breaking up with you. I renounce depression. I renounce every generational curse, every stronghold that has attacked me in my thought life and in my emotions. I renounce it right now. Then I want you to repent. Repent means that I'm turning from my way to God. I repent for allowing certain things into my life that should not be in my life. God, I turn now to you, okay? I turn now to you. That's what it means to renounce and repent, okay? Now, God sees, God hears, God moves. Now, I want to pray over you. So I want you to start praying for your friend and your brother and your sister. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And I want you to receive this. This is something. Take it by faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we command every spirit of depression to leave right now. We break its power over your soul. We declare that God is putting back your emotions. He's putting back your soul, the fragments of the pain that you've experienced and the trauma that you've been through and your grief and your loss. We pray that that season is behind you. God is doing a new thing in you right now. This is a new season. This is a new day. I want you to know that your best days are still out in front of you. They are not behind you. Your best days are still to come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we come against every suicidal thought. We come against every generational curse of despair. We come against deep grief. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. You've been carrying it too long. I need you to leave it in the church today. And every hand lifted up to the Lord in this place as I release what we call the oil of joy. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that that same grace that was given to me to help me overcome my most painful season, I pray that you do it right now again in Jesus' name. I thank you for the mantle of joy. I thank you for the anointing of joy. I thank you for the oil of joy being released right now. Let it be like fire shut up in our bones. And this is what I believe, that some of you all will have the same problems, but you'll have a different perspective. Meaning that the joy of the Lord doesn't remove the problems, it gives you the power to overcome them. It will give you the different perspective of your marriage, a different perspective of your finances, a different perspective of the same problem. For the joy of the Lord is your strength, okay? Now, all over the room, I want you to just receive that by faith. Lord, I receive it. Take it. Take it out of the atmosphere. God, I receive it. It's mine right now. Now, my wife, she had to go home and look at herself in the mirror for 3 months and confess the word of God. For 3 months, for life and death is in the power of your tongue. And she would say, you're loved, you're beautiful, with tears coming down her face because she was told that she was a mutt and that she was from the projects and she was abused and she would never be anything. She had to reverse the curse that men had put on her. And after 3 months of her confessing the word of God, she saw, I know this sounds weird, but it is what it is. She saw the spirit of depression leave her and leave out of the house. She's been healed for 20 years. No more Prozac, no more medication, no more therapy, because I know a doctor, his name is Jesus. We don't need 12 steps with Jesus. Sometimes we need one. Come on, somebody. We just need the deliverer to deliver us. And if you feel freedom in the house, can you put some praise on it? Come on, church. If you feel freedom in the house, can you just give them worship? Come on, church. If you feel freedom in the house, can you just honor Jehovah Rapha, for he is in the room today. Woo! Glory. I sense the Holy Spirit. The Lord gave me a few specific words, and I want to just release these very quickly. The Lord gave me the word aneurysm. It's what we call a word of knowledge. Many times he'll give me a word. I've seen people be healed online, healed in the room. You would see some of the most amazing things happen when we just say what heaven is saying. If you've been dealing with an aneurysm, the little girl who came, I had no clue. God gave me this word before I came to church. I was praying this week. He said aneurysms. So if that's you, lay hands on yourself in the name of Jesus. We command aneurysms to leave your life right now. And we declare healing is yours in Jesus' name. I want to pray for those of you all who've been dealing with fear of trusting, fear of getting married again, trusting again, falling in love again, fear of getting involved in the church. You've been hurt in some kind of way. But that pain was supposed to push you into promise, not push you away from God. Who's that? You've been dealing with fear, just some kind of fear. For you've not been called to walk by fear, but walk by faith. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So very quickly, if you could just renounce that, just break up with fear. I'm done with fear because it's time. Come on, let's receive this for audacious faith. We pray for the spirit of faith to be yours. We pray for the gift of faith to be stirred up on the inside of you. And the Lord, one more thing, showed me someone who had a broken heart. I'm not talking about a literal heart. Your heart's been broken by someone or something. Who's that for today? You've had a broken heart. And it's been hard to even get up sometimes. It's just been a difficult thing for you. I believe that God is going to heal the brokenhearted today. If you could just, as an act of surrenderance, just look towards Jesus today. We pray that God is now healing your heart. He's healing your spirit. He's healing the wounds, the emotional trauma, the baggage. Right now, you are loved by God, honored by God, chosen by God, cherished by God, and your best days are still to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you want to put your faith in Jesus, this is the most important miracle that will ever happen when your soul is saved and your name is found in the book of life as a child of God. Listen, you don't have to be perfect to be saved, but you do have to surrender. And I don't know what you believed when you came in here, but here's the Bible truth. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. I'm not offering you a religion today, because I don't believe in religion, but I am offering a relationship with God through Jesus. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've sinned, but I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want a relationship with God Almighty. I want to come back home on the count of three. I want you to boldly lift up your hand and wave at me so that I can know who I'm going to pray for. This 5-second prayer will change your eternal address. All over the building, if that's you and you say, Pastor, I want to be right with God. I want a relationship with Jesus. Please lift up your hand in 1, 2, 3. Lift it up high all over the building and say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. God sees your hands. He sees your hands. He sees your hands online. Nobody prays alone. The Bible says this, when you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Can we pray this prayer by faith together? Come on, let's join in. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Forgive me of my sins. Today, I repent of my sin and I turn towards you. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross long ago so that I could live forever with you. Today, I surrender all of me to all of you. From this day forward, I'm yours, you're mine, I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Woo! Yeah. I'm gonna ask you to take one big bold step of faith if you lifted your hands for any of those appeals. We have a prayer team. Can you just lift up your hands, guys, over here under theshepherdchurch.com? If you want to be water baptized, if you need some counseling, if you want to know what your next steps are, if you want somebody to pray with you, as people are leaving out that way, I want you to come over this way so that we can make sure that all of your needs are met today. Let me pray and we will be dismissed. Father, I thank you for every decision that was in this place today, that we are not leaving this place the same way that we've came, for we have the oil of joy. This week, let it be the most joyous week that we've ever had in our lives as we put first the kingdom of God. Do what only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you, Los Angeles. We'll see you soon.